For everyone who's ever sung Down by the Riverside, I'm going to study war no more. This is the biblical reference. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways and that we may walk in God's path. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
The setting of this first part of Isaiah is the southern half of the divided kingdom of Israel, kingdom called Judah. Judah sat at the crossroads of empires, and so it was surrounded by enemies. Some people in Judah believed that the end of Judah was swiftly approaching. Other people believed that God would not let anything bad happen to Judah because Judah was where the Jerusalem was and where the temple was, and God would always intervene to protect the religion. But Isaiah in this passage looks beyond the immediate threat to his world. Isaiah was looking at a hoped-for future and envisioned a time when all nations would awaken to the truth of the God of his faith. He foresees a time when this global identification with God's truth would lead to lasting and universal peace. What Isaiah was pointing to was not obedience to God, but transformation because of the inspiring truth that comes from that God. It is the truth of God and not the person of God that's important in this passage. It's a rare individual who can look at a nation divided and with potential enemies on every side and still see a world where everyone will live in peace with one another, a world where the tools of war will be obsolete and will be refashioned into something useful. In this poem, Isaiah is giving voice to a powerful hope. In a world ruled by the system of domination, hope can seem like a frivolous thing. Hope can be seen as something for innocence, for little kids, for those who have not yet awakened to the realities that rule the world. But for those of us who are seeking an alternative to violence, fear, greed, hope is hope that stands for a just and peaceful world is a powerful resource. Another of the lies of domination is that this is the best of all possible worlds. Yes, it's flawed. Yes, there are small improvements that might be made. Ultimately, people being what they are, this is as good as it gets. The only fundamental change that can be conceived of is change for the worse. Better the destructive world that we know than the much more destructive world that will come if we try something very new. For those who buy into this myth, the goal of existence isn't to radically transform human civilization, but it is to win the competition for the limited spaces at the top of the heap. If poisoning the planet or selling lies or causing suffering to others is what it takes to feed their families or get ahead, then that's what they'll do. In our world, the tools of war have become domesticated. During our occupation of Afghanistan, I read of a man who left his home in Arizona every day to go to work. His work was flying drones halfway around the world. From his remote control vantage point, he could then kill people he would never see except on a video screen. At night, he'd go back home to his family. When he finally quit his job, his personal count of how many people he had killed as part of that job was over 1,600. Mass homicide as a 9-to-5 job. In Virginia this week, a disgruntled Walmart employee went out to a store, bought a gun, brought it to work that same day, and killed 6 people before killing himself. He was able to do that because Virginia has no waiting period and no requirements for someone desiring the means to kill as many people as possible. Violent language inspires violent acts. A recent study of hate speech on Twitter showed that an average of 84 incidents of hate speech appeared on the platform in a 7-day period. But then after Elon Musk took over, the number of such hate speech incidents rose to 4,778 in just a 12-hour period. Ours is a nation awash in guns, in frustration, and hate. It is a deadly mix. But it's important to place any conversation about hope in the context of the world as it is now. This is the first Sunday of the church year. It is the season of Advent. It is the season in which we remember the longing of humanity for a better world. It is a season in which we recognize that we share that longing. We want a world without war, starvation, homelessness, oppression, and hate. The longing of people in Isaiah's day is the same as people today. They wanted peace and plenty for all. The hope Isaiah offers is a hope for a radical change from what existed then and now. And so we wait with the expectation that the way things are is not the way they will always be. This expectation undoes the seeming invincibility of the way things are. Our very expectation of change is part of the process of change. But we're called not just to sit passively by and wait for change to come. We're called to enter into the change that is coming, to create it and live it to the fullest extent possible. In the here and now. While we wait for the dawn of a new and better world, we light a candle of hope by siding with the victims of injustice, by sharing what we have with those in need, by standing up for a world free of violence, hate, and greed. Our history illustrates the successful use of nonviolent methods to more justly distribute rights and resources. Women and people of color have the vote. Children do not work in factories. Public education is available to all. Homosexuals can marry. So many of the rights we take for granted came as a result of people embodying their hope for a better world in their tireless actions. All over the world, the work of God's peace goes on. When ISIS violently took over the city of Mosul in Iraq a few years ago, the ISIS leaders told the people that the schools would then start teaching ISIS ideas. After that announcement, ISIS leaders found the schools empty of students. Almost all the parents kept their children home rather than send them to be propagandized into hate. The question before us is, how do we respond? What do we as a community with a hopeful vision and creative and generous people offer to the struggle for a better world? Organizing ourselves to face the challenge of the coming days is the work of hope. Risking our time and resources to make the world a better place is how we become people of hope. That calls on us to see ourselves as more than a congregation, but as part of a much broader movement. This movement needs to think strategically about the struggle for a just and peaceful world. We need to act as if the things we hope for are achievable, and then start mapping the steps to get us from here to there. Charting a path to a just world may seem impossible, but we can do it. We can create plans to get us a long way down that road. Though it doesn't get much news, good things are happening all the time. The dawn is breaking in soup kitchens and picket lines, in homeless shelters and prisons. The dawn is breaking when we roll up our sleeves and start creating space for the light to break in. Without much planning, responding to emergency needs of the day, and despite the better organized efforts to thwart the cause of justice, still many good things are happening. The challenge for those who seek justice is to move past responding to crisis and start creating opportunities for hope to break in. Our calling has always been to make visible the outlandish hope of justice for all, where all people can live in peace. In so doing, we bring light to the world around us. This is how we await the dawn. This is Advent, the time when we proclaim by our expectant actions that a hope-filled dawn will break in, is breaking in to human history, even now, even here, through everyday people like me, through everyday people like you. Amen.